from Hanselminutes.com. It's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman, hosted by Carl Franklin. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 17, recorded Tuesday, May 9th, 2006. Support for Hansel Minutes is provided by PeterBloom.com. Start with better controls, finish with better sites. Online at PeterBlum.com. Support is also provided by .NET Developers Journal, the world's leading .NET developer magazine. Online at www.sys-con.com. In this episode, Scott discusses RSS and syndication.
Hi, this is Carl Franklin. You're listening to Hansel Minutes. And I'm here with Scott again. And this week we're talking RSS, right, Scott? Really simple syndication?
Yeah, and we're talking Atom and feeds and all of this chaos that's going on around syndication of information using XML.
And you're at a hotel room? You're in Pittsburgh? What?
I am in beautiful downtown Pittsburgh.
Uh-huh.
And I'm in a hotel, and it's 11 o'clock at night, and I've just finished up doing my Ineta talk at the local Pittsburgh.NET users group. I've got North Dallas tomorrow, and I've got Dallas on Thursday, and I should be back in town and on Friday. It's crazy. I don't know what I was thinking.
I don't know either, but at least I'm glad that you got to squeeze in this show. So let's jump right in. What you got for us?
Well, so I've been going back and forth with the RSS team at Microsoft. This is the guys that have got a whole series of RSS APIs underneath IE7. You know, everyone talks about IE7 from the browser perspective, but there is a whole RSS subsystem that's underneath IE7 and in Vista that makes this makes RSS first class on Windows. The RSS team's blogs at theshrinkster.com, EVR. And there's a number of things to look at on their blog. They've got a section on the RSS team blog about this this underlying subsystem. And what they've got going is pretty interesting. They're calling them bronze, silver, and gold. This is the Windows RSS platform a la carte. So basically, okay, an existing application like a Feed Demon or an RSS Bandit, you know, does all the work, right? They go out and they download the RSS. They download syndicated content using RSS or Atom as their description of what they need to go get. And they have their own feed store, right? They're actually storing that information themselves.
Okay.
Well, in Windows, after you install IE7, there's a thing called the common feed list.
Right.
So this is something that Windows knows, just like, you know, how when you very first install Windows, they say associate your account with the .NET username so we can log you into Windows Messenger, you know.
Right.
It's that level of integration.
System level.
Right. So the bronze level the RSS team is calling is the integration with that common feed list. That's a Feed Demon or an RSS Bandit making the decision to allow people to look at that common list of feeds, as well as looking at whatever feeds they choose, as well as, you know, an importing and exporting of your subscription files.
Cool.
Right. So RSS is what happens on the wire when you are requesting a feed and you get your items. But OPML, that is the subscription format that we use to import and export.
OPML is like a list of feeds.
Yeah, exactly. It's your subscription list. What, right, do you read your blogs on?
I used to use SharpReader. Now I'm using Feed Demon.
Really?
Yeah.
So it seems like in the Windows world, the three big ones are RSS Bandit, shrinkster.com/EVH, SharpReader, that's EVI, and Feed Demon at EVJ. And I'm a Feed Demon guy myself. I've done both RSS Bandit and SharpReader. And I'll talk about, there's a feature that those guys have that Feed Demon doesn't. That's pretty, pretty significant. But right now I'm a Feed Demon guy as well. So a Feed Demon aggregator, right now is really doing all the work, right? They store the feeds, they go get the feeds, and plus they're talking to the big NewsGator online world.
Right.
So they might want to integrate with the common feed list.
Can we back up just a little bit? Before we get in there, you just said something, the NewsGator online world. What is that?
Well, NewsGator is more than just Feed Demon and the NewsGator product, right? There's also NetNewsWire, their Mac downloader. But one of the things people don't realize, when you're running Feed Daemon and you are synchronizing your feeds, you're not actually going out to Hanselman.com to get your feed information. You may think you are, but what's really happening is if you've synchronized your folder in Feed Daemon with what's called NewsGator Online, you've got a new username, you're actually getting that information from NewsGator.
So they cache it, in other words.
They're doing all the work. It's very interesting. They've decided to get the feed themselves, and then they are normalizing that feed and providing a basically a hash so they can tell one item away from another.
Normalizing, meaning cleaning it up if it's not right? Or
yeah, a lot of feeds are crap,
yeah,
and
that's
a lot
true.
Of feeds don't have GUIDs to make sure that that item within a feed is a unique item.
Right.
And it's difficult to tell because a lot of people have created a lot of really sloppy RSS. It's difficult to tell when an item has actually changed. So NewsGator has kind of a proprietary, internal secret sauce that they use to normalize to some canonical format all these different feeds. And that's how they tell whether you've read something on one machine or on another.
I see.
So I can read my Feed Daemon feeds at home, come to work, and those same feeds have been marked red.
Nice.
Well, that's great until, of course, NewsGator had their recent outage and we were unable to go get feeds.
Right. Single point of failure.
I didn't even realize that they were doing the work. I thought I was going out and receiving all these feeds from elsewhere.
Yeah, I did too. I didn't know anything about this.
So that's the NewsGator online world. So back to the Windows world, this is very interesting. Basically, Windows is doing the same thing that NewsGator is doing, except they're doing it on your computer rather than in some mysterious cloud somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about bronze level, which they're calling the integrating with that common feed list. So there's a service that's available in an API. Mm-hmm. Silver is integrating with that list plus using the platform to download the feeds.
Huh.
Right. So there's actually a download engine that will do scheduled downloading, parsing, merging, determination of whether the item has been new or updated. All that kind of secret sauce that NewsGator does at NewsGator headquarters, the RSS team platform will do for you. So you really just call the RSS platform and say, hey, give me this feed, work it out, and give it back to me in a canonical format.
And just a couple more things before we move on to the support in IE7 for RSS and the common feed list. Does that also deal with enclosures?
Yeah. So what they're doing is they're actually using the background intelligent transfer service
Nice.
To do the downloading of the enclosures.
Sweet.
So if you decided to write a new aggregator today and you insisted that someone have this RSS platform on your machine, you would have a lot less work to do than the guys that have written the Feed Daemons and the Sharp Readers, because now you're going to get a complete RSS platform with a feed list,
right?
A download engine, and then if you go at the gold level, an actual feed store, so you don't even have to hold the feeds.
Now, bronze, silver, and gold, these are levels of service?
These are levels of integration that the RSS team is kind of informally using on their blog to describe how much of the kind of cafeteria plan of the Windows RSS platform you choose to take.
But you can choose whichever level you want, of course.
Exactly.
I see. And the other question I have for you is, and I know this is cursory information, but there's confusion out there. Atom versus RSS. What is Atom, A-T-O-M?
So Atom is another take on RSS. There are a number of problems with RSS from the point of view of the XML purists. RSS is so simple that it's not really a very good example of how to use XML.
Right.
It has no namespace. It has a lot of features that are not inside it, so people have tacked them on, like support for comments, support for attachments. Everyone's adding on to RSS. So Atom was Sam Ruby and a number of other folks' re-expression of the need for a feed.
Yeah.
And it's caused a lot of controversy because from the point of view of my mom or my wife, they don't really care. They may just now start to understand the concept of a feed.
Right.
But they don't care what it is. They don't care if it's Atom or if it's whatever. There's an interesting link at shrinkster.com/EW0. It's a Feedster comment about the concept of RSS reach. They say that about 4-7% of internet users are using RSS. But
wow.
Yahoo says that 30% are using it. It's the 4-7% that actually know that it exists.
Ah, I see.
So When you think about RSS reach, does that mean that I'm using it and I know about it? I mean, I don't. My wife doesn't know about SMTP.
Right.
Right. You know, my mom doesn't care about POP3 email.
Exactly.
She knows about email. So measuring RSS reach, you know, do you need to understand what RSS is to use it? Ideally, no. So Atom is another kind of reinvention of that. Now, this has caused controversy because the gentleman who created RSS is not the friendliest towards the Atom folks, and the Atom folks are very much focused on getting the standard right and making it a proper XML. And then, interestingly, Google comes along, and if you go to shrinkster.com/EW1, which is a code.google.com site, you'll see that Google has released a merge, basically their expression of called GData, which is Atom plus RSS together.
Wow.
As a single protocol, and also including a number of things like Open Search, which is a thing from Amazon that allows you to aggregate search results. And they've got data up there on how to use it in C# and Java. They've got detailed information about the protocol. It's very clever. You can use the format not just to get information, but also to create new entries. When you have a nice clean format like Atom, a lot of people started coming up with ways to use Atom to create a new entry. So rather than just doing an HTTP GET to get the information, you would actually post an entry, and that would be like doing an insert.
So do you see Atom taking over RSS as the default standard for feeds, or what's the story there?
Well, see, everyone has pledged support for both, and that's where it gets sloppy. So now we're going to think feeds. But what I think is going on is that Atom is the Betamax of the formats.
In other words, RSS is the more popular one. Atom might be better, but it's not as popular.
Exactly. And that's the best. And you know, that's just the way it is. Whenever there's us and them, there's Blu-ray and there's HD.
Yeah.
You know, HD DVD or whatever,
right.
One's better and one will succeed. But, you know, when you get somebody like Google that says, well, there's nice things, I'm going to take a little here, take a little there, and then they decided to use it in their new Google Calendar as the format that Google Calendar speaks, that's pretty hot.
Now, where's Microsoft? I mean, Google has got their answer to Atom and RSS. Where's Microsoft in this?
Well, Microsoft has proposed a number of different, you know, over the last couple of months, proposed extending things in this way and that way. But from my point of view, the only people who have successfully changed RSS, you know, in any fundamental, substantial way is iTunes for adding all the different iTunes-specific feeds.
Right.
Tags, rather. And Google. So, I see Microsoft making it easier for all of us to use RSS, but, I haven't seen a lot of clever changes that are worth
keeping. No innovation really from them.
I wouldn't say innovation. They're not innovating in the protocol.
That's what I mean.
I mean, they've come up with a number of different things, their expression of what a list is and stuff like that, but it was kind of released to PANs.
I mean the protocol. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. But what they're doing is, you know, when you just go and write a little bit of code, three lines of code in .NET to go and say, give me some RSS, it's not going to be smart. It's going to beat on the server, and it's going to ask for that over and over and over. And maybe you set it every 30 seconds. I mean, you know how this is. You get stupid aggregators. They beat on franklins.net.
Yeah.
If someone could say, give me a feed, and Windows would handle conditional gets and can handle being clever about scheduling an update in the background, bandwidth friendly, using all the appropriate HTTP protocol things to say, I've already got this cached. I just want this little bit.
Yeah.
That's just going to make everyone win. So Microsoft's innovating in the API space right here.
That's cool.
Digging around in the RSS team blog is a really, really useful thing to do, I think.
Okay. What's next?
So I want to just talk about a number of different things that are going on. First, the three, like I said, the three RSS readers that I've really noticed in the Windows fat client space are NewsGator at Shrinkster EVG, RSS Bandit at EVH, SharpReader at EVI. Now, RSS Bandit and SharpReader support something really neat that NewsGator and FeedDemon is at EVJ, don't support, and that's RSS comments. Not a lot of blog engines support this, but this allows you to get another RSS feed that is the comments on a particular post. And both RSS Bandit and NewsGator, when the backing server supports it, will show like threaded discussions, like NNTP, like a news group, appearing underneath the post. So like DOS Blog supports RSS comments. Now, this is something that a lot of blogging engines don't support, and I think it's a damn shame because, you know, I hate to visit a site just to find out if anyone commented on stuff.
Yeah.
So, interestingly, and this is where I get frustrated, there's a website called cocomment.com at shrinkster.com/EVK. These guys have a weird little JavaScript hack that you put in your bookmark list, and just before you're about to leave a comment, you push a button. And they insert some JavaScript on the page of whatever blog you're visiting. Mm-hmm. And then when you submit your comment, they grab the submission and they submit it to themselves as well.
Huh.
This way, they'll keep a list of all the blogs you're commenting on and give you a single Your Conversations RSS feed, which is a list of all the different feeds that your comments, rather, that you look to. Nice as a concept,
yeah.
But using JavaScript and Ajax and insisting that someone click on a button in order to cause it and to basically ignore a perfectly good spec like RSS comments.
Well, I like the idea, though. I mean, at least it shows that somebody's thinking enough to come up with a solution in the first place.
Yeah, I think it shows there's a problem.
Yeah.
There's definitely a problem. And, yeah. and I mean, don't you agree that, you know, it's hard to get involved in the conversation?
I agree. Yeah, and definitely you're right about pushing the button. That's ridiculous. It should just happen.
And it would be even nicer if they would detect what blogs support RSS comments and then pull it as a data feed.
Yeah.
So I think if more aggregators started supporting RSS comments and that became a formal thing that people cared about, we'd be in a nice spot.
So I got to ask you, as a developer of DOS Blog, does DOS Blog support RSS comments?
Yeah, so if you go up on my... Oh, yeah, DOS Blog supports both RSS comments, and I also release support for co-comment. So I have this post on my blog where I complain about how co-comment sucks, and then at the very end, I release support for it. You know, because it's really not about my opinion. It's about if it works or not, right? I mean, this is the thing. People, you know, VHS is a crap format, but videotapes worked for a very long time.
Right.
So who are we to complain?
Yeah.
Now... On the website, there's a lot of really cool stuff that you can do with RSS and getting involved in the conversation. That's more than just getting feeds. You can take a look at share.opml.org at shrinkster.com/EVL. This is a thing that Dave Weiner, the creator of RSS, is doing where he encourages you to upload your OPML, your list of subscriptions, and then he'll apply an algorithm to it and then give you suggestions of other blogs that might be like the kinds of stuff that you like to read.
Wow.
He'll also connect you with people who may have similar interests with you based on this kind of algorithm that he comes up with.
Wow.
So I actually found out that a buddy of mine, Mitch Denny, is listed as number two as the guy who has subscriptions most like me, which makes sense because he's a .NET guy.
I like Mitch Denny's shrinkster component that automatically shrinksterizes URLs that you copy to the clipboard. He's a good guy.
Yeah, he is. Now, a lot of people who have blogs want to be able to find out if people are, in fact, talking about them.
Right.
So there's a number of different ways to find out if you're being talked about. And one of them that's really interesting is at bloglines.com. Bloglines is an online aggregator. So rather than having a fat client, you log in and you look at your subscriptions. And at bloglines.com/citations, at shrinkster.com/EVM, you can type in the address for your blog, and it will find within its list of blogs other folks that are talking about you.
Cool.
Now, there are ways for blogs to communicate to each other, like with things like trackbacks, where I would post about you, Carl, and my blog would then send a little notice to your blog,
right?
You know, and let you know we're talking about you.
Right.
But most blogs don't support that, I'm afraid, and sometimes those are lost, and a lot of conversations occur, and you don't get to jump in and say, oh, hey, I've got an opinion about that.
Right.
That bloglines.com/citations is an interesting search engine. I've been using that more and more. Another one is Ice Rocket. This is Mark Cuban's company. And they've got an interesting thing at a trending site at shrinkster.com/EVP. This is Ice Rocket. And they'll tell you, given some terms, how are they trending in the blogosphere? You know, are more people talking about David Blaine now than before, or how, you know, are people talking about Monad or PowerShell, and what is the trend of these different terms over time?
It's funny you mentioned David Blaine. I was just reading I just read a news story about him where he almost died trying to set the record for holding your breath after being trapped underwater for a week.
Yeah, he only made it for 7 minutes, and the record was 8 minutes 59.
Right.
Now, another interesting place to get more information about blogs you might want to read or other people's subscription files is Chris Perillo's Gotta Be, GADA.BE, Gotta Be. If you can't remember that, it's at shrinkster.com/EVN is in Nancy, EVN. And his is a really interesting service that is almost entirely based on the URLs. It's kind of like Delicious or Technorati, where you get to type in extensions in the URL. So if you go like gotta be /D/Hanselman, then it'll go and it'll search like 200 different sources that he pulls from, aggregate them, and he'll give you an RSS feed that tells you where the word Hanselman appears or where the word Carl Franklin appears somewhere. And then he will also create an OPML file that you can import into your reader and monitor things. Now, that can be done for, you know, ego purposes, and you can go to shrinkster.com/EVO and see who's talking about me. But think about if you were a marketer or a PR person and you wanted to find out if people were talking about the competition, talking right. about a product that you're trying to promote. These are the kinds of things that you could generate reports on and let your clients know that you are focused and making substantive change in the blogosphere.
Yeah, very
getting
valuable.
People talking about their stuff. Yeah. Other places you can find more information are feedster.com. This is another nice blog search engine at shrinkster.com/EVQ. And then, of course, there's Google's own blog search at EVZ. Now, interestingly, blogsearch.google.com, their Google blog search is kind of lame. I have not found it to be that clever, and I have consistently not got good results from it. I don't know if you've tried that one or not.
Yeah, I agree.
One of the many Google properties, that one just not so much. Google's online reader also, the google.com/reader at EVW, not so much. Another nice one's called PubSub, P-U-B-S-U-B, PubSub at shrinkster.com/EVY. PubSub will also create search result-oriented RSS feeds for you, looking on particular tags. Really, RSS being so flexible and so loose has really lent itself to this notion of tagging. We talked about Delicious and how you can tag information. Technorati is another site where you can tag posts with the topics that give some semantic meaning to a topic, rather than the blog engine having to look at the content and decide whether or not it's about XML or whether it's about .NET. You actually explicitly tag it with that information, and then these other engines can use that context to decide whether searches are relevant to you.
I really like Technorati. Love it. Been using it for a long time.
It's a little complicated, and there's so much content up there because, the content's really being built by the users. They're adding information. They're adding new tags every day.
Yeah. And they're also experimenting with some, a lot of, almost like marketing. There's a lot of banner ads and stuff up there now. They're popping up. It's getting kind of cluttered.
That is a little disturbing when the site's not so clean as it used to be.
Right. It used to be clean.
Now, you've looked at live.com.
Yeah, I love live.com.
Now, that site, I wasn't feeling it early on when it was like, it used to be search.com?
Yeah.
But it's working so nicely in Firefox now. It's very clean. It's so easy to add an RSS feed off of live.com. I tell you, I like Google, but the call of the new stuff is hard to ignore, and the nice clean interface of live.com, I may switch it to my homepage.
Wow.
And that would be quite the coup. Google's been my homepage for a very long time.
Wow.
Now, you can develop stuff for live.com. They've got these live.com web parts.
Yeah.
Did you attend Mix 06?
No, I didn't go to Mix. Wish I could, but I couldn't. I had a wife with the who couldn't walk syndrome.
Ah, that'll do it.
Yeah.
Everyone I talked to said it was just fantastic.
That's what I heard, too.
If you've grown tired of TechEd or PDC, there was just a totally different tone at Mix 06. And they've released all of the sessions at shrinkster.com/EVS. This is at sessions.mix06.com. They've got the sessions, the demos, PowerPoints, and everything. So if you wanted to do some experimentation to actually develop against like the RSS team's APIs, you can download Internet Explorer 7 Beta 2, take a look at some of the RSS team's slides. They've got sample code for an RSS screensaver. You could probably write an aggregator in a couple hundred lines of code pretty easily.
Yeah, I've spent some serious time going over the sessions at mix06.com.
Now, you're writing an aggregator.
I am, yeah. It's called Pwop Catcher, and you can download it, pwopcatcher.com. It's in alpha right now, but it's a .NET aggregator. It doesn't work with RSS text, but it's really for managing podcasts and podcasts and downloads. And I'm thinking as much about what to do with the podcast once you've downloaded them. The downloading itself is done with HTTP or BitTorrent. I'm actually embedding, in the next version anyway, I'm embedding MicroTorrent, utorrent.com, as a DLL into the application. I actually got permission from the author of MicroTorrent to do this as an exclusive thing. MicroTorrent is a BitTorrent client that's 155K, totally standalone, doesn't require any installation.
You know, you turned me on to uTorrent, to MicroTorrent. You totally spoiled me, man.
Yeah.
This was actually the first tool that I hadn't heard of yet.
Wow. I'm impressed.
You know, MicroTorrent, uTorrent.com, this thing kicks complete butt.
It totally rocks, doesn't it?
It is so small and so tight, allows you such flexibility in the downloading of the torrents. And, you know, they've got like places where you can download TV shows that you've missed. Like right now, I'm downloading that David Blaine show.
Which is perfectly legal because it's public TV.
Is it?
Yeah, it's legal.
That's
good. It's legal
to, know.
To download TV shows that you've.
Because I've got it taped at home on the TiVo. I just can't get into my house right now. I can't VPN into my TiVo at this point.
Yeah.
I was thinking about using orb.com. We talked about it in a previous show.
Oh, yeah.
But I've got very limited bandwidth right now, so I'm just trying to get this updated via a torrent.
Mm-hmm. So PopCatcher uses .NET, of course. And as I said, I'm concerned just as much about what to do with the podcast once I have downloaded them. So I have, for each feed, I have individual settings. You can put each feed in a different folder. You get to choose where each one goes, not some arbitrary folder. You get to determine how many days old they should be. In other words, if you say seven days old, first thing that happens is when you go to the feed, when the feed goes and it looks through all the items, it'll only download things you don't have that are less than 7 days old. And also, before it runs, it looks on your hard disk in that directory and it says, hey, are there any, you know, podcasts here? Are there any MP3 files or whatever that are more than 7 days old? Delete them.
You know, it would be very cool if you made an import so I could take all of my I've got like 25 podcasts in iTunes.
Yeah.
But iTunes completely takes over my system when I go and load it up and it tries to update its podcast.
Right.
It'd be awesome if you could be the alternative to iTunes podcast. You could import my stuff, and then when it comes down, spit it back into iTunes.
Also, the next version is going to have plugin support, so I'm encouraging .NET plugin writers to get control before the feed gets checked and before and after an item gets downloaded, so you can do whatever you want with the item. Of course, I give you all the metadata about it.
Very cool.
Yep. And, you know, one thing that bugs me as I wrote this, I get an email once in a while that says, I'm having a problem with PopCatcher. There's a bug. And I'm getting this error on this particular feed. And the error is like invalid character and path or something like that. So I look at the feed and I pop it into Feed Validator at feedvalidator.org. And feedvalidator.org is a site that's set up to look through the RSS and determine whether or not it's valid according to the rules of RSS. And, you know, there's just flagrant violations of the protocol in there. And, you know, like they're appending onto the MP3 file extra meta information because it's actually not downloading an MP3 file. It's like downloading some, you know, custom, you know, there's some custom handler on the web server side that's looking at that and validating it somehow, but there's extra stuff in it. It's like, you know, mypodcast.mp3? Blah, 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 which is just not allowed. So I'm basically having, you know, and then people are telling me that, you know, my program has a bug because I'm not being, forgiving enough. And my question is, you know, my question to you, you're a programmer, how far should I go on this? I mean, how far should I allow people to violate flagrantly the RSS protocol?
Well, see, this is the thing that's so ironic. I mean, what is XHTML? XHTML was everyone who was sick of dealing with flaky and weird HTML right. parsers. Remember, right. HTML is not well formed.
Right.
You know, remember back in the day when you'd get six or seven tables deep and then Netscape 4 would blow up because you were doing too many crazy things with one pixel GIFs.
Right.
And XHTML is everyone's, all the programmers' backlash. So now what's happened is RSS was not very tight initially. People break all sorts of basic rules of encoding. And if you look at some of the developer lists of tools like RSS Bandit, and you watch them struggle with the, well, gosh, this popular blogging engine, makes really crappy RSS. Do we support them or do we risk alienating them?
Right.
You know, how do you put pressure on them? And I think that's why Microsoft is putting all of that RSS spackle into the platform. They're saying it's really not our issue. It shouldn't be your issue.
Right.
Feeds are going to be crap. And just as there's not a button to push in Internet Explorer that says, don't show me crappy HTML sites, because if you did that, half the web would stop working. The same thing is the issue with RSS. One day it will be better, but I don't think we'll get more than 80% of the feeds validating.
Yeah. One of the things that I had thought of doing was firing off an email to the webmaster, which is a field in the RSS document itself. And there's a couple email addresses that are in the RSS if done correctly. And just saying that, you know, this feed right here is not well formed. I suggest you check out feedvalidator.org, you know, and clean up this problem. But, you know, that would be a little rude, I think, especially if they, you know, hundreds or thousands of people subscribe to their feeds and all of a sudden they're getting pummeled with pop catcher emails.
Yeah, if I got an email every time someone got a 404 on my site, it would be a bummer.
I know, but I seriously think about it like that with great pleasure. I would take great pleasure in doing that. Of course, it would be horrible, though.
Yeah.
All right, what else we got?
So we at the DOS blog team recently made a change in our engine, kind of a change we didn't think was a big deal, where we got rid of http://, and we switched all of our feeds to feed:// this is a pluggable protocol that just like mail:// and things like that, where you click on a link and it launches an external program. Feed:// was our way of making it easier to subscribe to a DOS blog feed. You click and it pops open your default aggregator.
Yep.
A lot of people freaked out.
Right.
They weren't feeling it.
But then again, Scott, you know, we were producing a show for EMS, Eastern Mountain Sports, called Blue Pizza.
Yeah.
And I can't give you the URL yet because it's not officially open. But we had the RSS links to subscribe in there. And, you know, they sent it around the company and they got back all this feedback that's like, this download link isn't working. It's just a bunch of characters on my screen. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I mean? It's kind of the thing that syndication in general it requires a certain level of education on the part of the user. And I think that's what this, you know, feed:// link is really trying to avoid, is that, you know, hey, let's try to make it, you've got an aggregator. All you need to do is install it. And and hopefully it'll respond to this type.
Well, I'm going back and forth with it because the issue is that feed:// works great if you have an aggregator that supports it, like RSS Bandit or like FeedDemon. But if you have an online aggregator, like Bloglines,
right,
that's not helpful at all.
Right.
Interestingly, IE 7 Beta 2 doesn't support it. And I've got a very interesting back and forth I've had with the RSS team at Microsoft about why they don't feel that it's a necessary feature.
Yeah.
So they're not thinking that they're going to support it, and they actually have some built-in code that gleans whether or not what they are about to download is a feed.
Yeah.
So not only do they have to deal with malformed XML, they also have to deal with wrong MIME types. They have to actually look at the first, you know, some number of bytes and guess if this is RSS.
There's a way that I'm going to be addressing this with PopCatcher, which is to make a file extension, a MIME file extension, that PopCatcher understands. So instead, if you have PopCatcher, click this button, and it will download that file, which just essentially includes the RSS.
Right. So you're basically getting around it by saying, well, I don't know about you guys, meaning everybody else,
right,
who is kind of in the middle of the chaos.
Nor do I want to establish a standard. I just want, you know, here's
a... You just want it to work.
I just want it to work, right.
Yeah. That's why I really think that the feed:// was a great idea. And I'm going to post on my blog as soon as they give me the okay, the conversation that we've had. It's been very interesting.
Cool.
I think it's just going to come down to they're going to decide and I'm going to complain about it. But I don't see how you can get rid of feed colon slash slash, just like you can't get rid of mail to.
Right.
And, you know, real players, RSTP, and all those other pluggable protocols.
Unfortunately, I can see where they would probably come from a position of, well, we don't know if we're going to call them feeds, right?
Yeah. Well, ultimately, I think the issue is that they want to support more than one aggregator on the system, because
right.
the RSS team is not trying to be an aggregator. They're trying to be a platform.
Sure.
And putting feed colon slash slash undermines that concept of a platform and indicates that there is one official feed handler on this machine.
What about just RSS as an extension? You know?
It's a good idea. I've always thought that .xml would be a bad idea. I don't see why a MIME type wouldn't work, but so many web servers return the wrong MIME type, and officially you're supposed to return, I think it's like application slash XML, which just tells you it's XML. It doesn't tell you that it's RSS.
Okay. Well, Scott, that's a show. Thanks for slogging it out in Pittsburgh there in your hotel room. Hope you didn't wake anybody up.
Yeah, it's about midnight now. Time to go to bed and do it all again tomorrow.
All right, and we'll talk to you next time on Hanselman's.